Jesus. Glorious in holiness. This afternoon, when I was worshiping with that song, I saw a sudden vision. You know, some visions just kind of creep across your mind. Other visions, you realize you just had a vision when the vision is over. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but suddenly you realize you saw something and you weren't paying attention. Some visions come like that, just full of power, full of getting your attention. So when I was praying, I mean, worshiping with that song earlier, I saw a torch just like this jet and stand right in front of me. It was a very large torch. The fire was blazing. So tonight, when we were singing, I found myself in the throne room. But instead of the throne was a cross that suddenly became ablaze. I feel like crying. I feel like crying. I just feel so tearful. And the reason, we are all crying out for revival, right? But we don't really want it bad enough. What we want to do is be busy. I have, for the last several weeks, been fighting a terrible, terrible attack. I'm not saying it was a devil, but dealing with issues of my health. Some of you have been praying for me, so God has already told you. And I've been trying to figure out how we're ever going to have revival if He doesn't let me come and pray. I kept saying to Him, the people will quit coming if I don't come. And you know, it's true. You, the faithful ones, come whether I'm here or I'm not. And God will bless you for that. Today, tonight, sitting in this chair, He spoke to me. He said, I've been testing the people. Will they come when you can't be here? Or will they not? Is it me they want? Or is it to pray with you that they want? We have got to pray that the church will hunger for God, regardless of the messenger. You know, I respect you for coming, whether I'm here or not. I respect you for that, because you are the faithful one standing in the gap. And the time is going to come this year when so many are going to wish they had stayed faithful to the vision. We need to pray tonight that God is going to give His church a heart to hunger after Him. If there's no messenger, you know, Don and Lynn are always here, John is always here, and they are great in prayer. Pastor Matt is here so often. They're great in prayer, and I know you love to pray with them. Am I right? But what happened if they didn't show up? Would you still come and pray? Would you come and stay and get on your knees and pray? I don't want us to have to be tested in that. Do you? I feel like weeping. My heart has been all weepy since He spoke to me. Jesus is so hungry for you. He is so hungry to send His fire, to send His glory, to send that part of Himself that will arrest you from the world. He is hungry for you. He wants to bring you to a place where you're safe from the storm. He wants to provoke you with His fire, with His love, with that part of Himself that is so irresistible. But you have to be looking for Him. You have to be waiting for Him. You have to. Do you know that there, I know no one in here fits in this category, but do you know that there are intercessors who intercede just so they can feel proud of their prayer life? Where? When you stand before the gates of His glory, where are you going to bring forth the holy prayer filled with pride, filled with self-sufficiency? Prayer is a humbling business. It will break you if you're doing it right. The alabaster box spoke of you. The alabaster box that Mary broke over the feet of Jesus spoke of you. You who are willing to come and be broken at the feet of your Lord. Oh, I can't tell you what's going on inside of me. Jesus needs your worship, not man. Not even revival. Jesus wants your worship. He wants you to belong wholly to Him. We can't serve Him enough to make happen what needs to happen. Only love can do it. Only love can do it. Only love For your Savior can capture you and put you in a place of safety. There is a churning so deep in my soul. Sometimes it's not fun to be a prophet. God does things with you people don't understand. They start judging, they start criticizing. But when it's all over, they stand before Him. And He says to them, "Why didn't you hear the message I was trying to give you?" The song of the prophet is so beautiful, it's so sweet, because it is the call of the bride. God, that is the anointing that God puts on the message. It's the call to the bride, draw near, draw near, draw near, draw near while He is calling. Draw near while He is calling. Draw near while He is calling. Open your heart. Let him put His glory. Let Him put that holy call into your heart. Let it pierce the veil. Let it go through the veil of your heart. Let it pierce the innermost being of your nature until everything inside of you is crying, "Jesus, I must have you. Jesus, I must have you. Jesus, I must have you lest I die. Bend me, Lord. Break me. Remake me. Transform me. Do whatever you need to do to this haughty heart, this unworthy heart, but make it ready for you." Isn't it amazing? God gives a message like this, and the ones who need it the most are not here. Pastor Matt says that's the way it usually is. But I want to tell you, there's a river coming. There's a river of glory coming. There's a river of sweet oil coming. There is one coming who is coming to those who are looking for His appearance. Those who are willing to break the alabaster box at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to see Nita. I'm not here to see Don. I'm not here to see John. I'm not here to see Pastor Matt. I am here to find Jesus. I must have my Lord. I must have His life. I must have Him churning my insides, churning me. Because I can't bear not to have more of Him. I must be filled to the brim with my Lord Jesus. Do not gather and heap up. Store up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust and worm consumes and destroys, and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, I want to go one step further and say, store up for yourself the glory of the Son. What do these earthly things mean if you put them in your heart and if you grapple with life to keep them, to retain them? What do they mean? When it's all over, they are corruption, corruption, corruption. And they have stolen the place of your Lord. We must come clean with Jesus. We've got to let go of the I syndrome. Have you ever heard of that? Do you know that it's spreading like a plague? Did you know that? It's called the I syndrome. I am so great. It is wise that Jesus loves me. I'm such a good Christian. I read my Bible 3 times a day. I pray morning, noon, and night. I. The I syndrome. Have you heard of it? They've got a pill for it, you know. But the pill doesn't cure it. The pill covers the ache from it. And the pill is the world. Just keep shoving the world into that empty place called I. And pretty soon, you won't feel the pain anymore. The pain of the loss of Jesus. You will be so busy applauding I. So busy idolizing I. So busy letting everyone know how wonderful I is. You won't even hear his voice anymore. It's called the I syndrome. It's spreading like a plague. Never has it been so prominent in the world as it is today. They have clubs now. The I Glee Club. The I Promotion Club. Have you ever heard of them? They're to help the afflicted who have the syndrome of I. But they can't cure it. No man can cure I. I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. I love to look at the mirror and just remind myself how good I am, how much I do, how great I am in the doing. You've heard of it, right? I know no one here is subject to it. But you have friends, family, relatives who are, right? You've seen it. You guys, are you with me tonight? You've seen it. It is a terrible plague. It is a horrible poison. It is a stench, a corruption. It gets the eye off of Christ. Until his wooing, his calling, his crying, his pleading, even his weeping can no longer be heard. Not only is it spreading like a plague, but when it overtakes the human soul, it ravages it. Until they don't know how to be happy in Christ anymore. I can remember I used to have a prayer warrior who prayed for our ministry incessantly. One day the Lord gave me a vision and showed me this person. And I saw that her soul had suddenly filled with corruption because of her pride in being an intercessor. It got to the point. No one could tell her anything. She knew everything. This became so bad, this I syndrome, that she became entrapped in a terrible deception. We were never able to retrieve her. It is a terrible plague. It steals the thirst. It steals that sense of being famished for Christ. Christ is hanging on the cross. And what does he say? I thirst. They thought they could give him gall to drink and it would satisfy his thirst. But I'm telling you, I've been before that cross. I've heard my Lord say those words. I know what was in his heart. He was crying out to humanity down through the ages. I is the anguish of soul in the church thirsting for the Lord? Where is the anguish? Where is it? America will not carry you long. You need Jesus. The anguish needs to be there. An anguish that will pull you out of bed at night. An anguish that will get you up in the morning to pray. An anguish that will keep you up in the night to pray. An anguish of heart that is so intense that, like Rachel, you are saying, "Give me, lest I die." What else is there? How do we cure the disease? The world can't cure it, but it will sure give you little pills to help you so that it doesn't feel so bad. Only one can cure the disease of eye, the eye syndrome, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of his glory, how dare you accept less? How can you be passive? We'll just accept whatever he gives. No! You've got to grab the horns of the altar and you've got to cry out to him, "I will not be denied. I won't let go until you come." There must be something in you that is broken for love. Cry. Cry for him. Weep. Weep because your soul is desolate and you don't know it. Weep. Cry out, "Lord, what is wrong with me? I feel like I'm with Jacob at the house of Bethel. God was here and I knew it not. What is wrong with my soul? What is wrong with my soul? What is wrong with me that I do not crave you, that I do not thirst for you like you thirst for me? When did I put too much world in my heart? When did I get the syndrome of I and it became such a big tree? I couldn't even chop it down." Come in your mercy, Lord. Come. You know that I'm trapped. You know that I'm bound. You know that I don't even understand how desperate I am. Come. Pray to him. Cry to him. Tell your heart. You will awaken. If it's the last thing you do, you will awaken to the cry of your Lord. You will awaken. You will awaken until he fills you with the oil from the alabaster box. You're not hungry enough because you're too saturated with life. The Lord spoke to me in a vision a few days ago. And he showed me that the shepherds are too busy and the sheep are too busy. And when the terrible times come, the difficult times come, they're not going to be ready because they're famished for lack of God. The shepherds got too busy to take care of the sheep, and the sheep got too busy to take care of themselves. There is a need for God in his church. There's a need for the hunger of the life of Christ, for the hunger of the Holy Spirit. I can feel it. It feels like a cavern
in the heart of God, there's a hunger, and we're not satisfying it. We're too busy satisfying our flesh. Come to Jesus. Cry out to Him. Repent for your apathy. Come to Him. Plead with Him for His mercy to change your heart that is so filled with the world. This eye syndrome will leave you with leprosy, spiritual leprosy. It will deform you. It will dement you. It will take from you everything that is valuable. Once it starts to ingest, it never stops. You've got to catapult it out of your heart.
Cry out for your Lord. Cry out for His mercy to break your heart and empty it. Fill it with Himself. Cry out to Him while He is near. Those of you who are online, the people here are weeping for Christ. Join them. Jesus, you know our hearts. We are empty. We are so empty. We've been so empty for so long, we don't even know how empty we are. We've grown accustomed to the lukewarmness. We've grown accustomed to the emptiness. We don't even know the loss. Open our eyes, open our understanding, open our heart to see how desperate we really are. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We do not need another. We need you. Lord, we weep for ourselves and we weep for the church. The church is filled with the apathy. The church is filled with busyness. Busyness and bitterness. We sing songs. We say we love you and we love your ways. But when we're put to the test, we learn we despise your ways, Lord. Change our wicked hearts. Let us know the hunger and the passion of the Spirit of grace. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. None but Jesus can satisfy. None but Jesus can hold us. None but Jesus can lead us to the Father. None but Jesus can fill the emptiness, the aching, the longing of the soul. None but Jesus. Lord, forgive the church for our apathetic ways. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride. Forgive us for not praying enough, Lord, for not desiring enough, for the lack of passion, for your drawing near. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride that causes us to be so self-sufficient. Oh God, I feel the aching of the breaking of the pride, Lord. We're so self-sufficient because we have so much pride. Forgive us, Lord. You alone are our sufficiency. Oh God, to capture vision, to have a dream, to capture the experience of knowing how empty we are. Help us know where we are so we can start fighting for where we need to be. Lord, send forth your glory.
Send forth revival. Lord, we cannot live without it. We cannot continue without it, Lord. We need your life in our hearts. We need what revival gives, what it brings. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you to draw near. We need you to come. We need you. We need you, Lord. We need you. Save us from the I syndrome. Save us from the world. Save us from the things that we cherish, Lord. I'm asking you to come to the low places in Christ. Paul said, I will glory in the cross. Until we learn that that is the only thing we have a right to glory in, we will constantly seek for the world to be our quest, to be our satisfaction. We must abandon all else for the sake of Christ. We must glory in the cross, because you can't get to Christ without the cross. You must go through the cross. It must create the cleavage in your flesh and in your soul to make a place for the pouring out of that which displeases him, and for him to cleanse your soul with the sweet oil of heaven. Cry for the cross. Cry that God will humble you until the cross becomes your joy. The door into the Holy of Holies is so small, my dear friends. It is so small. It is so small. It is so small. And for a reason, he does not want the pride of the flesh to make it through that door. He wants the humbled heart, the broken spirit, to enter in where the Holy of Holies will transform. Pride is a stench in the eyes of God. Self-idolatry is a stench in the eyes of God. And we've all got the sickness. We all do. Don't come up here tonight after this service is over and say, no, the Lord conquered that in me, because you're lying to yourself. Every human being has it, except those who have been crucified with Christ and who live in Christ completely in union at this hour. What do you think keeps you from union? It is the I syndrome. I is too big. It's scary. We don't even know. Cry out every day, God, less of me, more of you. Cry out every day, I must have more of you. Send revival into my soul and let me know what those things are that prohibit that marvelous grace. What are the sins that I cling to that keep me from being in revival? What has overtaken the hunger? The Spirit lusts after you. Lusts. Such strong passion. Such strong emotion. Such strong fervency. Vehemency. The Spirit lusts after you. What keeps us so unresponsive, so insensitive to his lusting? The Spirit of grace
Oh God, the Spirit of God, what's wrong with us that we do not lust after Him the way He lusts after us? What is wrong? How can we live with this fallacy in our lives anymore? We must be changed. We must be satisfied with Him alone. Oh, Lord. We're so sorry. We've had the sickness for so long, we don't even know it, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. How can we nurture this thing? How can we live for it, Lord? It is such sickness in the soul, and it keeps us from You. It grows like a cancer, and we get further and further from the truth. Oh, God, heal our sin-sick soul. Bring us to You. Glorious, glorious Jesus, glorious Jesus, glorious Lord, we feel like Peter in the boat. Call us, Lord, and we will come. It matters not that the sea is stormy. We will come on Your word. Okay, please sit. Please sit up in your chair. The Lord wants to put in your hearts a longing so deep, so all-compelling, that you lose sight of You. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes. We all need it, don't we? Yes. All He's asking you to do is pray. Pray until your alabaster box is broken at the feet of our Lord. He must be conqueror over all. He must be conqueror over all. He has been given authority over all flesh. That's what the Bible says. And you must let Him conquer your flesh. I want to ask you sincerely, out of a heart of love, ask God to begin to deal with your attitudes. Every one of us have attitudes that keep us locked out of the glorious presence of our Lord. Ask Him to begin to reveal those nasty attitudes that He hates so much. And when He does, repent, and you will see a newness of the life of Christ in your life. Ask Him to show you the way to plow up the fallow ground. And as He does, take the plow and plow. May I tell you something of a truth? I don't like your flesh. I don't like my flesh. And if you knew me, you wouldn't like my flesh either. It's the truth. Flesh, rotten flesh, stinks. I love what Martha said. Open the tomb. Let Him come out. Oh, Lord, He's been dead 3 days. How long have you been dead? He stinketh, she said. How long have you been saved? How long have you been saved? That's how long you've been dead. And your flesh stinks. Isn't this encouraging? Aren't you glad you came tonight to find out how wonderful you really are? But we have to come to grips with this. I just love this, you know. Someone says, I want you to mentor me. I want you to show me the way to Christ. And the minute I touch one area of their flesh, they... and they get heated and they get offended and they... and that flesh just... it gets so foul. They think I'm crying because, you know, I've had been too close to an onion. But I've picked up the Kleenex and I'm crying and blowing my nose because that flesh stinks. Do you believe me? We all want to be captured by the Spirit of life. We want Jesus to have his victory in us, right? We want Jesus to want us real close without having to smell the smell of rotting flesh. Amen? We want to bear the fragrance of the alabaster box and its contents. We want that when we draw close, he says, please don't leave. I like it when you're here. My dear brothers and sisters, find Christ. Find him while you still can. Find him. Don't say, I already know him. No, you don't. Find him. You'll know when you find him, when you can't live without him. When you can't live without the magnanimous manifested presence of the Lord. Amen. Do you know that I love you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? He would never, ever put you through what you went through tonight if he didn't love you. It's love that does it. When you go home tonight and you crawl into bed, don't put your head on the pillow. Pray. Seek his face. Leave the light on so you don't fall asleep. Let what he began in you just keep churning tonight as you hold him so close and so dear. Amen. You going to do that? Don't say, I have to get up and go to work tomorrow. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you had us do tonight exactly what you wanted us to do. It was time for us to pray for ourselves, for revival, and for the church. That's what you needed to hear, and that's why you came the way you came. We must crave you the way you crave us. My prayer is that you deposited something in every person in this room that will be life transforming. We want to glorify you, Lord, if we could only know how to do it. And I believe you're getting ready to show us from the heart. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. In your precious name. Amen.